FM Rewind, Vow 88.1. Science Wise on Vow 88.1.
Like I said earlier on the show, that we're going to be having Dr. Gillian John Arendse, just to chat with him. He's a manager for communication and stakeholder relations at Itemba Labs under the Department of Communication, Information Services and Science Engagement. He's a passionate science communicator who works to make complex research understandable and exciting for the public. Through his role, Dr. Arendse helps connect young people to the world of science, showing how Itemba Labs contributes to both global discoveries and the growth of scientific talent in South Africa. Without wasting any further time, please help me welcome Dr. Gillian John Arendse. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Christophicus. I mean, with that kind of intro, I can only be fantastic.
So it's only a pleasure. So thank you for making the time to actually come through to actually having this conversation with us. So without wasting any further time, can we just like jump straight into the questions?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. For someone who just tuned in right now, or for someone who has never heard of Itemba Labs before, how would you explain what it is and what it does?
Well, I mean, Itemba Labs is what we would call a national research infrastructure platform, mm-hmm. right? So it is a facility with big equipment specifically dedicated to what we call accelerator-based science. So we have a number of particle accelerators, mm-hmm. And in essence, we use these things for research. We use them for training, but we also have some specialized expertise, of course, linked to the use of accelerators. Mm. But in essence, I would say Itemba Labs is a facility where we take very small things and we make them go very, very fast.
Mm. Can you just like break down, what are those small things?
All right, so when I talk about small things and when I talk about particle accelerators,
yes.
what we in principle would accelerate mm-hmm. Would be, let's call it protons.
Okay.
Right? So, I mean, if I take you back to your school science, mm-hmm. You would know that you have something which you call an atom.
Mm-hmm.
And an atom is made up of what you call a nucleus with electrons.
Mm-hmm.
And if you then zoom into the nucleus, then within the nucleus you find what we call protons
mm-hmm.
and neutrons. So in essence, a proton is the nucleus mm-hmm. of an hydrogen atom. So if you start with hydrogen and if you remove the electron, mm-hmm. you are left with what we call a proton.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes,
now, the proton, of course, is extremely, extremely small. And when I say extremely small, I'm talking about something that's of the order 10 to the minus 15.
Mm.
Now, I think the listeners and maybe yourself would know what a millimeter is.
Mm-hmm.
And a millimeter is 10 to the power minus 3.
Mm.
And if you now go down, let's say, sequentially dividing by 1,000, then from 10 to the minus 3, which is the millimeter, if you divide that by 1,000, you get to 10 to the minus 6,
mm.
which is what we call a micron.
Okay.
And if you take about 50 microns, that's more or less the thickness of your hair.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
So now I take the micron, which is minus 6.
Mm-hmm.
If I make that 1,000 times smaller, I get to 10 to the minus 9, which we call a nanometer.
Mm.
If we continue, then a nanometer divided by 1,000 gives you 10 to the minus 12, which is what you call a picometer.
Okay.
And then if I go another 1,000 smaller, I get to the 10 to the minus 15, which then gives me more or less the size of a proton. So these are the things that we accelerate.
Mm.
And we accelerate them using something which we call a particle accelerator.
Yes, sir.
And at Itemba, which is the only facility of its kind, not just in South Africa, but on the African continent,
mm.
we have a big machine which we call a cyclotron.
Mm.
And cyclo just means go around in a circle.
Mm.
So we take the small thing, proton, we put it in the machine, and we make it go in a circle, and as it goes faster and faster and faster,
mm.
the circle gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm.
And when it gets to its maximum energy, that very, very small particle has enough energy
mm-hmm.
to go 4 times around the Earth in 1 second.
Oh, okay, okay.
And 1 second is more or less the time that you take to blink.
So oh,
when
okay.
you blink, it would have traveled 4 times around the Earth.
Hectic. Okay, okay, okay. Oh, I get it. So why was Itemba Labs created, and what makes it special in South African science landscape?
Well, so I mean the facility Itemba Labs, which was formerly known as the National Accelerator Center, was actually built in about the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was built to service three communities. There were people who wanted to do fundamental and applied science. So they wanted to use the specialized equipment to study things at the building block level, right? So we're trying to understand nature. We're trying to understand where the elements come from, how they are produced, how they interact. And in order to study that, we needed an accelerator.
Mm-hmm.
But when we built this thing, we also wanted to serve two other communities. The one community is what we would call nuclear medicine.
Okay.
So in nature, you get things that are naturally radioactive.
Okay.
But if you know what you're doing, you can artificially produce stuff that's radioactive. And these things get used in nuclear medicine. So for instance, if you are worried or concerned about whether you might have cancer, you go for a scan, right? And when you have a scan, it's basically using a fancy camera. But of course, now you need something to send the message to the camera. So what we do is we produce something that's radioactive. That can be injected into you as the patient. And if there is, let's say, cancerous activity, that is where the radioactive substance will kind of navigate towards. And from there, it will send a signal, which means the camera can see it. So with these nuclear medicines, we can diagnose cancer. So that was the second group. And then the third group that we service was actually the people who used these beams of energy to do what we call particle therapy. So if you have cancer and if your cancer is localized, you can kill the cancer by depositing energy into the tumor. And that is where it started in the 80s. But over the years, we've closed down the therapy program, and the accelerator is in essence now used for basic research, trying to understand nature. And then we still produce these things that we call radiopharmaceuticals, or let's just call it nuclear medicine. And that obviously impacts in terms of assisting with diagnosis and treatment of cancer.
Okay, sir. So what kind of research or discoveries happen at Itemba Labs? Can you just like give us more examples, whether old or recent examples you find interesting?
Well, I mean, obviously, as I say, you know, it's on the fundamental level, right? So you're just trying to understand what are the reaction mechanisms or what is the structure. But we also have applications more on, let's call it the applied side, right? So, so let's think about it for a moment. You want to put satellites into space. And when your satellites are in space, they are exposed to what you would call cosmic radiation, right? So that is energy coming from outside. And you need to be sure that if you put your electronics in outer space, that your electronics will be able to withstand this radiation or energy. So what we can do is we can say, right, with our machine, we can create conditions that are similar to what you would find once you go into space, which means that we can use our equipment to test electronics before they go into space. And in actual fact, if you remember the Mars rover you know, that was sent up by NASA, we were actually involved in doing some of those hardness tests on the electronics. So that's some of the stuff we did way back when.
Okay.
But there's also some applications more at the lower energy side where we study materials. So we can look at how can you change the properties of materials if you basically have these things that we call particle beams. So in other words, if you deposit energy into a material, how does that change the structure? And of course, if you change the structure, you can start making new materials. And these materials could end up in, let's say, the solar energy kind of space. Or you could also say, well, if I understand stuff at a nano level, in other words, 10 to the minus 9, I can start making smart materials. So let's think about this for a moment. At our homes, we might have air conditioners that we use to regulate temperature. But what would happen if I had window panes that are clever enough to decide when it allows heat in mm-hmm. and when it reflects heat? Okay. So in other words, if you understand materials at that level where you can start fabricating very thin films mm. that you can put on glass, now you start making smart windows. And if you have smart windows, of course, you've got smart homes. And then we might get to the point where we say, okay, maybe we don't have to spend all this money in terms of air conditioning and obviously the energy that goes with that, because we actually don't need that, mm. right? So again, that's more on the material side. But I think one of the other things that I found fascinating, you know, some of our scientists who are involved in what we call particle physics, okay. they use computers to analyze their data. And of course, the big word nowadays is machine learning and artificial intelligence. In other words, you train a machine to help you analyze and interpret data. Mm. And what the scientists have actually done was they said, okay, one of the problems that we have in South Africa is a problem with air pollution, right? We don't know what is the quality of our air.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a system that measures the data, collects the data,
mm-hmm.
and if I can combine that with artificial intelligence that helps me to make sense of the data, I am able to identify, let's call it so-called hot spots. So with the data, I can say, listen, area one, for the moment, there's some issues with in terms of air pollution, right? It mm-hmm. might be that there's high concentrations of certain gases or there are high concentrations of certain particles. And based on that, I can make decisions. But of course, you can also start predicting, right? There's that old saying that says, where there's smoke, there's a fire. So if your sensor detects the smoke, and mm-hmm. if through your artificial intelligence you interpret the data, you can actually warn people of basically the outbreak of a fire, mm-hmm. which means that you're in the game of preventative measures and you can impact the system. And I think there are many of these exciting things that scientists are actually involved in. And again, we actually have to find ways for our scientists to engage with the general public more often. Mm-hmm. So that people understand the impact of the fundamental science, and that how that helps us in making more informed decisions. Mm. So those are just some of the things that come to mind when I think in terms of immediate impact.
Okay, so how does the lab connect South African scientists and students with big international projects like CRN, CERN, if I'm said it right.
So CERN is the big facility in Europe, Switzerland, Geneva,
mm-hmm.
which is the Large Hadron Collider, right? So I think, first of all, if I just quickly step back, as mm-hmm. I said to you, NRF Itemba Labs is the premium facility on the African continent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you
yes.
think access to an accelerator facility, there's only one place that you can go on the continent, and that is Itemba Labs.
Yes.
So Itemba Labs is actually positioned to be able to almost become this hub where people come together to debate and to discuss. And from Itemba Labs, because of our networks and our relations, we are able to facilitate access to some of these world-class facilities. So the one that you mentioned, CERN, CERN is dedicated to what we call particle physics, which means they have an even bigger accelerator, which means that their particles travel even faster,
mm.
right? But because the particles going faster, they study a different section of, let's call it the natural world. They want to know what is happening not at the level of protons and neutrons, but what level happening at the next level. In other words, what are the building blocks of protons and neutrons? And then you start worrying about things that we call quarks.
Mm.
And of course, there are then bigger consortiums that analyze the data. So Itemba Labs is the institutional host of what we call the SA-CERN collaboration. So mm-hmm. that is the connection between South African scientists,
mm-hmm.
and the counterparts at this place that we call CERN, which is the European Research Facility for Nuclear Science, right?
Yes, sir.
And because we have this partnership, and they have various pillars, so there's things called ELISE and ATLAS and CMS and ESOLDA. Itemba Labs is helping to facilitate access to CERN as a user facility. by allowing South African scientists to connect with the international world. And just as we have this collaboration with CERN, there's a similar collaboration with the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research, which is in Dubna, Russia. And they again have a consortium called SAJNR. And through that collaboration, every year, we have an exchange program where students from South Africa spend what we call a student exchange period in Dubna, which is normally in June, July, and they go over, spend maybe 2-3 weeks in Russia. They get exposed to the infrastructure, but we do that after we have inducted them into, let's call it, the home-based activity.
Yes.
So we first bring the students to Itemba, we talk about the basics and the fundamentals, and then there's a student exchange. So through these collaborations, students are able to tap into opportunities, let's say, on a global scale. But because we are this home on the African continent, we are also labeled as what they call a collaborating center of the IAEA, which is the International Atomic Energy Agency. And because we are the center that's dedicated to accelerator-based science, there's an opportunity for people from the rest of Africa who either do not have access to an accelerator to come to us and make use of our infrastructure, or where they have maybe a smaller accelerator, there's an exchange in terms of skills and expertise in order to ensure that they have the capacity to run their facility. So currently, if I look at the activities of what we call our nanotechnology and nanoscience department or initiative, there's a lot of students from the rest of Africa, you know, Ghana, Egypt, Sudan, etc., that actually come to South Africa to collect the data and to get supervision from some of our experts in various fields.
So can you please share an example of a South African student or a project that has made a mark through this partnership?
Well, so I mean, if I, for instance, take, as I said, you know, you have this pillars, and there's something called the SA Atlas pillar. So Atlas, again, is one of the experimental setups that you would find at CERN. And a lot of the, let's say, South African expertise currently sits around the University of the Witwatersrand. And what this partnership is looking at is they are currently in the process of planning for an upgrade to their detector technology, right? So the idea is that in 2026, they will start doing some work on the accelerator, which will take about 4 years. And while they upgrade the accelerator, there's a need for the scientists to also upgrade their detection capabilities. And because South Africa is part of that collaboration, there are certain components of the upgrade of the detectors that's actually driven by South African scientists. Right. So depending on, they have something which they call the tile calorimeter, which is part of this massive detector. And the South African scientists at WITS are actually contributing to that project, where they are given the responsibility to develop certain components. And in some cases, some of those components are uniquely designed and built by South Africa. And once that is constructed, that gets passed on after testing, of course, and that gets incorporated into this international collaboration, which in essence suggests that the kind of science, the kind of expertise, our ability to deliver on these projects is at an international standard where we can make meaningful contributions to these kind of experiments that are played at the highest level.
So why is it important for Africa to be part of global science, not just to follow, but to contribute?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you always tend to want to benchmark. So I think in terms of science, you have this tension of being, let's call it, locally relevant, but at the same time, you want to be globally competitive. Right, so you want to benchmark your science in terms of what are some of the best practices, let's call it globally, to see how good we are. But at the same time, of course, there's a need for us to think about how are we impacting local society. So what is the value of our research, whether it is from a training and development perspective, where we say, listen, South Africa has invested over many years in the infrastructure.
Mm.
And if we think about the long game, it is imperative for us to ensure that we have researchers, engineers, technicians available who can not only support but also use our own infrastructure. So we have to invest in the development of young people, mm. but we have to make sure that, what we do is aligned with best practice. And mm. that's why I think it's important when you are part of this collaboration, you are able to expose young people to some of the best practices in the world.
Mm.
They are able to measure themselves as they interact with their peers. And I mean, that just brings back confidence, that brings back competence.
Mm.
And through what one could call technology transfer, mm. of course, you are investing in the next generation of scientists, engineers, and technicians.
Mm. Mm. So, beyond the research, how does eThemba Labs help grow skills and opportunities for young people in South Africa?
Well, so I mean, the research, the training, of course, is a very, very important component. And mm. and as I said to you, because we have specialized research infrastructure, what we have, you don't find at a university, right? So it's really important for us to collaborate with institutions of higher learning
mm.
in order to facilitate access for those students to what we have as infrastructure.
Mm.
But at the same time, we have to understand that we are dealing with a pipeline, right?
Mm.
So if we want future PhDs,
mm.
we need to have undergrads.
Mm.
If we have undergrads, we need to get young people who are excited about the prospect mm. of let's say, picking subjects like science and physical science and mathematics at school in order for us to feed the pipeline. So even though we are worried about the research,
mm.
and even though we're worried about the training of postgrad students, there's also a drive to ensure that we raise the awareness amongst school-going learners, whether it's in high school or even in primary school,
mm.
for them to understand the importance of choosing subjects like math and physical science,
mm.
not just from a content perspective,
mm.
but also to think about the skills that get developed when you do those subjects. So we have a small group of what we call science engagement practitioners, and mm. they help to facilitate the engagement within the school space, but mm. also, of course, to bring young people into our environment
mm.
and to show them what some of the technology looks like.
Mm. So what are some of the biggest goals or dreams you have for eThemba Labs in the next few years?
Well, I think for me, obviously, it's to see that eThemba Labs grows and continues, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, on the one side, it dates back to the 80s, and on the other end, we could say that some of our infrastructure is aging.
Mm.
So we need to invest in newer technology, but we have to ensure
mm-hmm.
that we have skilled young people who are willing and able to ensure that we have this kind of infrastructure available for many, many years. I mean, the other thing that I didn't mention is that eThemba Labs has got two sites. So we also have another site in Johannesburg that is actually dedicated to what we call accelerated mass spectrometry, right? So it's a technique that allows you to determine the age of things
mm-hmm.
through what we call carbon dating. So mm-hmm. again, there's an opportunity for us not just to advance the fundamental science, but to start thinking about science as multidisciplinary or cross-disciplinary,
mm.
where we show that how some of our techniques are applicable in other fields.
Mm-hmm.
And as we start doing that, I think there's an opportunity for us to showcase what is the impact of our science, but also to contribute to what you could call a scientific literate
mm.
Society. So I think my dream is to see that more people are excited,
mm-hmm.
not just about science, but that they are excited about the science that is being done in their country.
Mm. Dr. Gillian, in closing, what message would you share with young South Africans who think science is out of their reach or it's not for them? Because there's always a stigma around science and technology. So what message would you share with the young South Africans who think science is really not for them?
No, yeah. So I think, you know, to all the young listeners, I think for me personally, mm-hmm. You know, science is something that teaches us to deal with things in an abstract way.
Yes.
Right? So we are able to model, we are able to analyze, we are able to ask critical questions. And I think by doing science, you are training yourself in terms of being able to use those skills. And I think if we look at our society at the moment, we are in desperate need of people who question, people who ask questions, people who don't fall into the trap of accepting fake news on face value. And I think there's an opportunity for young people, but it's important for them to start using their data to actually learn more about what's happening in our country. So within the National Research Foundation, obviously Itemba Labs is dedicated to the science of the very small and the very fast. But there are other activities. We have something called Sireo, which is radio astronomy, right? So it's people looking at the stars and trying to understand galaxies. But there's also people involved in optical astronomy. And there are people involved in trying to understand the environment, whether it's marine science, etc. So there are many of these platforms, amazing opportunities. But I think it's maybe time for young people, in a sense, to open their eyes and to start paying attention, to not see their teachers as their enemies, but actually as their sherpas, you know, their guides who can share their own stories, and through those stories, hopefully share their excitement, but help to unlock potential and show young people that there's a lot for them to wake up and chase on a daily basis, in a sense.
Dr. Gillian, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for coming through and actually just like giving us all this information. Enjoy the rest of the evening, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Science Wise on Vow 88.1. FM Rewind. Vow 88.1.